Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, President of Aerospace Management System Institute, Board Member of Professional Aerospace Maintenance Association, and National Aviation Safety Foundation. He's the anchor host for Plane Time Stressing Aviation Maintenance. He has over 3,000 hours of flight time around the world and is today's host.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Coleman, your anchor host here for the Florida Aviation Network, coming to you live and in the clear here at the Central Florida Aerospace Academy, which is directly across from the Aerospace Center for Excellence. And that's formerly the Florida Museum, Florida Air Museum. But you need to come to Sun and Fun. This being, again, the 49th annual. Next year, I understand there's going to be a huge celebration to be the half of the centennial of Sun and Fun and the organization. And it is truly an international expo and fly-in. And there's people here from all over the world. And there's people from here in our backyard that we like to discuss aviation matters. And we're all about aviation safety here at the Florida Aviation Network, which is a continuation of the FAA production studios back when Obie and I were inspectors there at the FISDO. And we're still inspectors. You're never not an inspector once you were one. You just wearing a different hat, may not be on the government payroll. I almost slipped. I can't let that happen. Lee, keep me straight.
I will try. It's a full-time job.
We got Lee Lauterbach, and Lee, you've been a mainstay here in Central Florida. I know you have a property out west that you try to spend a little time at, but you and your whole family and your new family, adopted family, there at Stallion 51 in Kissimmee, you probably are one of the most prolific mentors, I would say, for the industry. Not just the fact that you get to fly some beautiful aircraft, but personally, you're a mentor. When you see somebody that is that's interested in aviation, you don't brush them off. You embrace them, and you try to find out where you go to the next level. And what are you doing now? And we'll get back into that. But I'm curious about your upset training, your unusual attitude. And I know that there's various terms and various words for it. The bottom line is what are you going to do if you lose control of an aircraft?
Wow. Let's go back for just a minute because I've got a couple things to fill in, right?
Well, Lee, this is your interview, so you go wherever you want to go.
So, well, you got the lead, but you were talking about how long, Florida Aviation Network, sure, and this has been working.
Sure.
You know, I remember working with you in the FISDO, mm-hmm, where I actually had to call you boss and yes, sir, and no, sir, and all those things. And
kiss the ring. Kiss the ring.
Okay. And it's been a great, great relationship. Good. It's really fun to be back on Florida Aviation Network and be part of this. And as you said, it's a family. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is, I think Disney got it right. It's a small world after all, and especially mm-hmm in aviation. Mm-hmm. And so anyhow, it's an honor to be back with you and work with you again. And who knows where you're going to go from here, right? So I better be respectful.
I have a concern that, every year, we typically age. I've aged, I've lost hair, and I've put on weight. You haven't lost anything. And if anything, you look younger. Well, what are you doing?
It's nice of you to say, but I got all this gray hair instructing.
But you color the gray, don't you?
So, yeah. Anyhow, back to your question. Sorry about the sideline.
That's okay.
But, unusual attitude, upset prevention, recovery training. I'm very, very passionate about it. Mm-hmm. As you probably know, and the audience maybe not, but I spent the better part of 18 years flying corporate, actually, for Arnold Palmer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And terrific, terrific gentleman, and grew up sort of in the Lear 24 and all kinds of citations for a number of years. And retiring from that in the 90s and getting into high performance airplanes like mm-hmm the P-51 Mustang, I began to realize what I didn't know about advanced maneuvering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so as I started more and more of the Mustang flying air shows, and I really saw where connecting the two dots mm-hmm is just vitally important. and helped create an upset prevention recovery training program, utilizing some of the things that, I've learned in my career, some of the aerodynamics of UPRT work, and very, very successful in that. If you look at today's corporate pilot, and this is in no way derogatory, they're paid, they live in a very small performance box.
Yeah.
And that's why they get paid the big dollars.
Mm-hmm.
However, once they get outside that box, what they think may be the right thing to do really may not be the right thing to do. And we're finding more and more of the corporate guys have never been over a 60-degree bank angle in their whole career. And so it's really, really fun to get them outside their little comfort zone, you might say, expand their envelope, and it's very, very well embraced, and I think very productive.
I know that it is, because for going for a while without flying, and particularly flying a different way outside of the box, their proficiency level has got to be atrocious. I mean, they can fly the numbers, they can fly the headings, they can hit the altitudes, they can follow the procedures, but when things start to go a little bit askew, what do?
Well, some of the things that you would think are intuitive, as I said before, really aren't the right things to do. So that's where the training comes in. And, you know, we all spend so much time training that there's a reason for it. I don't care whether you're a military pilot or astronaut.
Yeah, even astronauts need proficiency.
Everybody trains.
Sure.
And so getting back into the recurrency, there's a big difference between currency and proficiency, as you well realize. And, you know, being proficient at something is the real key.
And you got to do it.
You got to do it.
You can't read a book about it. You can't take a pill. You got to get out and do it. And sometimes that comes at a cost.
It does. And one of the interesting parts has been is that in the upset prevention recovery training world, the simulator has become sort of the standard of training, and certainly in the airlines. I mean, a guy with a certain set of skill sets and hours can come in and get typewritten in an airplane and never actually have it airborne. It's all simulator. However, upset prevention recovery training, they haven't gotten that. You can't feel the G. You can't feel the ground rush. There are a lot of things that cannot be simulated.
It's the perceptions and the sight, the smell, the hearing. It's like you say, it's part of being there, the real thing.
Some things just have to be done real life, and that's certainly one of them.
And I think as we continue to talk and discuss this, our top-notch production crews back there are going to be running a little bit of B-roll in the background, showing you in your office, if you will. I think there's one of you in your office right there. But Lee, the continuation for training, and there's so, I don't know of any kind of discussion or conversation I get involved with that people don't talk about how expensive it is. And oh man, that costs so much. I don't want to hear it, really. Yes, there is a cost associated with it, but what is the cost associated with not going that extra mile? And all it takes is to have one occurrence. And it affects so many people in so many different negative ways.
Ben, you couldn't be more correct. You know, the first view of it, yes, it is very expensive. But I always try to put it into relative terms. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, whether it's in dollars or ruples or whatever, it's all relative. And if you look at it, the way I look at life, you know, money's a renewable resource.
They're printing it as we speak.
Time is not.
Really? True.
Money's a renewable resource. Your life is not renewable.
No. Every minute that passes, every second that passes,
So
you're not going to get it back.
So it might be a really good investment.
It is. How about continuing? Do you recommend folks that they reach a certain level and say, okay, I've got all my ratings and certificates. I don't want any more. That's fine for them, but isn't it good to get your nose back into the books? And things have changed in the past 15 or 20 years. And we need to embrace those changes. I'm talking to myself now because I need to get my CFI for doing tailwheel endorsements. I love flying tailwheel.
You want me to record this for you?
No. As a matter of fact, I've got enough people that are, when you're getting your CFI. But the in flying tailwheel, and I'm sure you have the opportunity of flying with accomplished, I'm going to call them airline pilots, with thousands and thousands of hours. And they haven't flown a tailwheel airplane in 25 or 30 years. And you put them in the Mustang, or the T6, I guess, to take them up first. That's probably a real interesting session, the first one, of what those things are down on the floor.
You're so right. You're so right.
Tell me about some of your experience. Do you do any of the T6 flying, or are you strictly Mustang?
I try to stay, and my whole team stay in just two, no more than three aircraft. Mm-hmm. And myself, I'm two. It's Mustang L39. Mm-hmm. So I laugh and giggle about, you know, flying the T6 and you know, yeah, T6. No, I'll take the Mustang. Thank you very much.
Anyhow, I understand.
You know me well enough to know about
will.
That.
So. I will.
But back to the point you're going to make. Early on, I was a glider instructor. And, gosh, at that time, fairly young. And I was checking out a 747 Pan Am Captain in a very simple 233 glider.
Now, slid.
In the glider, there's airspeed, altitude. There's a
yaw string.
Yaw string up on the front side. And there's a spoiler handle. And then there's a big yellow handle for the tow release. Mm-hmm. And that's about all you have in there other than the stick. And so we briefed, and, you know, I'm going, wow, being a young 21-year-old kid, I'm pretty enamored with a 747 Captain, an honor to get to fly with a guy. And so anyhow, we launched AeroTow, and we're about 200 feet, and we get a little bit of turbulence, and he sort of gets out of position.
High toe, low toe?
Again, it was a high toe.
Okay.
There are only two handles in the aircraft. Guess which one he pulled?
The wrong one.
No. And so next thing I know, we're off toe now. He pulled the toe release instead of the spoiler handle. And we went straight ahead as the right thing to do and put it into a field. Anyhow, a very, very valuable lesson in that one is experience is valuable, but what are you experienced in doing?
Mm-hmm.
If you get outside of that, then the experience starts to go away. And that's where the currency and doing things and repetitive really comes in. Whether it's flying an aerobatic airplane or flying a tailwheel airplane, none of it's rocket science,
no. But
it all has procedures of things you do, things you probably shouldn't do to make it work. And so, you know, it's all what you do and how you do it.
And Lee, coming from you, that speaks volumes. And I say this respectfully, and I do respect you, but there's folks in your family I respect more. Rick and Pete. The guys that keeps the things ticking and running and moving and swinging.
Ben, you couldn't be more correct. And you know, I've been, let's put it this way, you know, the standard joke around Stallion 51 is that I break them and my twin brothers, Peter and Richard, fix them. And so far, I haven't been able to break anything they can't fix. The more serious aspect, without those guys, without the maintenance, we couldn't possibly accomplish what we've accomplished in the aviation world. They are absolutely critical to the daily operation, not only to the reliability of the aircraft, but also the safety of flight items.
Sure.
You know, their whole concept is to find things, fix things before they break.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of my successes. I've had very few mechanical issues in the airplane. I fly a demo today, so I want to be real careful how I say this.
I've got some wood. There's some wood here you can knock on.
Yeah. So, but incredible value. And it goes to the resource. You know, to the public, it's normally about the pilots. But the heart of the matter is it's the maintenance people. It's the people behind the scenes, perfect example, that make you look good, make me look good, and keep us safe. And whether it's a military maintenance person or whether it's civilian, they're absolutely critical to allow us to do what we do safely, proficiently. And I take my hat off to every one of them, especially my twin brothers.
Yeah, they're aces in my book, as they say. But and I want to get them on a plane time session.
Oh, good luck with that.
Oh, yeah. They love the camera. They love the camera. But the thing, the egos and the mentorship, we, again, you are a mentor. And when somebody says, I don't know if I will ever have a chance to fly a P-51. Well, if you don't ever think about it, you never will. But if you work towards it and you plan for it, it'll happen. You make things happen. I mean, things just didn't fall into your lap. You had to go out there and get it. And this entitlement era that we're in. Lee should offer me a ride in a P-51. No, Lee shouldn't. Lee should give you a path that you can develop to get you in a P-51. And it's still, you know, the sound of freedom. It's still one of the most luxurious airframes, as far as I'm concerned. The plan form, everything about that airplane is cool. And except for in the summertime when you got the canopy closed, there's no air conditioner in that airplane. Well, it's conditioned air, but it's coming out of 12 exhaust stacks.
But it's got a big fan up on the front.
Big fan.
Yeah. So, Ben, it's all about goals.
Yeah.
You know, and as I like to tell young people, and this was told to me as I was growing up, that set your goals and don't take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. We all get stumbling blocks. We all have hurdles to jump. It never really goes the way you think it should go or the way you plan it to go. Mm-hmm. But the goals are obtainable if you never give it up. And flying the Mustang is one of those. I had a guy come in and said, I have an aviation magazine that has been on my dresser since 1988. And I've wanted to fly the Mustang, and I decided I'm going to fly it today. And I'm going, wow, this is like 35 years of tripping planning over that magazine.
But it's planning. It's back here. It's planning. Yeah. But I really want to, because at some point, Lee, you're going to decide that, okay, it's been a good ride, had fun, accomplished a lot, but I'm going to move to a different area. We're going to get there's a thing that Doc Bush shared with me. I told him about some ailments I was having, and he diagnosed me right on the spot. He said, Ben, you're aging. So what are we going to do when Lee ages to the point where Lee says, you know, this thing's been good to me. I want to do something better for it now. What are you going to do?
Well, let me put it in aviation terms. For many, many years, I've been running around in the afterburner, you might say. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. Let's get the job done. Mm-hmm. I am blessed with the best team of professionals that have ever been around. That's been one of my goals. I just wanted to be part of a special team of people that do something better than anybody in the world. Mm-hmm. I have that right now. And therefore, with a team of that capability, you start to delegate more and more responsibility, and that gives me the chance to slow down. Mm-hmm. That's where I am today. I've been working to not be on the schedule every day assigned, but like, oh, I'll take this flight. Oh, I know that guy. I'll take that flight. Mm-hmm. Or, wow, here's an air show I'd really like to do. And
you can cherry pick.
Yeah, so exactly. So what time do I fly again? So I absolutely... Yeah. Enjoy flying the Mustang. And somebody said, what would you like to do tomorrow? Yeah, I'd like to go fly the Mustang. I have that ability, the capability. Mm-hmm. But what about the next generation? As you said, nobody has the timeline. Mm-hmm. And I look at it at my age, I'm going like, wow, I've got this much time left. So how do I want to invest that time? Mm-hmm. And so the reality of aging comes up. Last birthday, I ran the numbers in my head, and I came up with a big number, and I'm going, this can't be right. I went and got a calculator, and I put the numbers in, and I got the same answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so reality setting in a little bit. And so long verse to your short answer, or long verse to your short question.
It puts you on the spot. It really does.
It does. Is that I'm giving more and more to my team. Mm-hmm. And I'm there. I'm there more in the background. Mm-hmm. And like my brothers say, before I go fly a demo, mm-hmm. hey, don't embarrass us. And that's the standard that I expect of my team.
Don't embarrass us and don't break anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I do look forward, hopefully, and we're a similar era. Of I want to go to the airport and look over and see some guy sitting in a rocking chair. And who is that? Oh, that's Lee Lauterbach. Really? That's Lee? Why isn't he out flying? Says, Lee decided that he would rather watch people fly what he has taught rather than go out and do it. Besides, he's having trouble getting up and down.
Well, you probably heard the phrase, it's easier to grade eggs than lay eggs.
True.
Well, that's sort of a really great example. And,
yeah.
And one of the fun parts is that most of the guys flying the Mustangs out there, I've trained
mm-hmm.
in one capacity or another. Mm-hmm. And it's really an honor to go watch them do a great job and be safe at what they do. So it's a reward, and kicking back and sitting there drinking a cold bottle of water and watching somebody else fly a Mustang, I get a kick out of it.
And it's rewarding, and it will be more rewarding as the years go on, I trust.
Well, I hope so. It you know, one of the things I'm branching out into now with that little timeline we talked about was getting back into soaring.
Mm-hmm.
That was my grassroots growing up. I started flying gliders at 14 and very competitive and owned several sailplanes. But the Mustang business was full-time job, more than a full-time job. So, but now I've got a two-place, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
Well, Sean Knickerbocker had you out. You were there at the seniors. We didn't make it. We were out doing something else. But I really wanted to be there. I love hanging around the glider group. It's a different breed of cat. It really is, because they're up there looking for thermals and talking about. People don't know that you go for 250-mile trips in a glider.
Well, you're exactly right. As I do most years, I had the privilege to fly with Carl Stridek, who is one of the top.
I knew Carl.
Like 14 times national champion. Yeah. The guy's more of a bird than anybody I've ever met. So we went out, we flew 200 miles in a little over 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
and you know, did rather well in the contest stuff.
Lee, I will leave you with this thought, and this is something that I tell anybody, any young person that wants to get into flying. I say, go fly a glider first. Learn how to manage your energy, and that'll set the foundation for the rest of your career. It's true, is it not? I mean, because once the fan stops turning, it gets warm in the cockpit, you have to manage your energy, and you are a perfect example of that with the Mustang doing your routine.
Well, it's you couldn't be more right. I'm a big proponent of, if I could write the rules, everybody would start in a glider. So, but one of my claims to fame in the Mustang, Ben, you probably don't know this. Everybody goes, wow, you got a lot of time in the Mustang. Yeah, I do, and I've ridden through more bad landings than anybody ever. But I've got 2.5 hours of engine out time in the P-51. I want you to figure that out. All on purpose, but 2.5 hours of complete engine out.
I'm going to have to wrap my head around that.
I'm sure you will.
Let's talk about that over a bottle of cold water. Lee, we're going to wrap it up at this one, but it's always a pleasure. And next time we get together, I want to talk about your relationship with Tom Cruise and the filming of Top Gun Maverick.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I bet you do. Lee, thank you so much. Airshake.
Always my honor, man.
Airshake, okay. All righty, I don't know how we can top that, and that's the reason we love to talk with Lee at the end of the week, because it just puts an encapsulated punctuation mark on our week here at the 49th Annual Son of Fun International Expo and Fly-In. I'm Ben Coleman, your host. We'll see you next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network. an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.